Thank you for tuning into A Spirit-Led Life with HMI. We hope you enjoy today's session with Pastor Dion Hockey.
All right, we've been speaking the last 4 weeks now about breaking limitations. How many times do we see churches, businesses, ministries, whatever it is, stagnate and never progress forward or move forward in you know, whatever it is they're doing? They're never growing, they're never expanding. It's like they get to a point and they get stuck there and they never move forward. And I believe in this series we've touched quite a few important topics on how we can start moving forward and breaking those limitations off of our lives. Now, all these are still on YouTube and Facebook, so you can go rewatch all the other ones.
Yeah.
But today we are going to be speaking about doubt in God and doubt in self. Now, I'm going to explain all of this to you and how the Lord has shared this with me. Even in your offering teachings, you've said two things that I'm going to preach on today.
I did.
And that's why I was smiling when you were sharing, because it's just in line. It's confirmation that this is what God wants me to speak on today. But how many times do we find ourselves doubting?
Good morning, Pastor Lorenz.
Good morning, Pastor Lorenz. How many times do we find ourselves doubting? We say with our mouths one thing, and we look all positive on the inside. But I'm telling you a truth today, that your heart cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
You can look whatever you want to, persona you want to put up, but God looks deeper. He looks on the intent. He looks on the inside. And many people seem faithful, but they are completely doubtful. There's no faith in them.
So true.
And they've learned to live in this state of doubt wherever they go. Even though their mouths speak one thing, their hearts declare something else. And we have to be very careful to not step in the lie of living in doubt, but we need to live in faith. Mm. It's time to rise above. Time to break this limitation of doubt, so that we can progress, so that we can move forward in our walk with the Lord.
Come on.
So there are five areas. Now, I want to get through this today, because tomorrow we have we're going to end this series, and I want to get on the last one tomorrow. Five areas of doubt that cause limitation. And if you're writing this down, please, I need you to write this down. And number one is what you were speaking about at the end now. We doubt the word of God. The very first place the enemy will come and steal from you is he will cause you to doubt in the word.
Come on.
Psalms 106 verse 24 to 25 says this. Psalms 106 verse 24 to 25. Then they despise the pleasant land. I think there's a whole sermon just in that.
Yeah.
How many times you get people that are in the will of God, they're in a good place, but yet they despise the pleasant land. But he continues, he says, they did not believe his word. They did not. They were in the pleasant land. They were in the promise. But yet, they did not believe in his word. But what did they doubt? But they complained in their tents, and they did not heed the voice of the Lord.
Oh, boy.
The moment, and you can see this, the moment doubt arises in one's heart, especially concerning the word of God, they will always complain concerning the word, concerning the promise of God.
Come on.
You can see it. If the promise is healing, they will complain why they are not healed. If the promise is financial blessing, they will complain about their finances. It is always when the word and the promise is there, the complaint is always going to be there to counter what the word of God says.
I've been teaching this for years,
I know.
That I've been saying, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, in my opinion, and, you know, I could be very wrong, and I hope I am wrong, but, you know, that 50 or 80% of the church you know, maybe let's be gracious and say 60% of the church just does not believe the Bible.
Yeah.
Because if they believe the Bible, what is the Bible? The Word of God. They would be applying and doing what the Word says. And when you believe something, you do it wholeheartedly, yeah, not half-heartedly, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's what why we had. Last night again, I just, you know, we were driving back in the car and I said, I preach what I preached last night. I preach in all churches.
Yeah.
And the response is the same in all churches because we just begin to make people think, are you applying the Word of God really? In just some areas, yes, I will apply it. But other areas, no, I won't apply it. We got to make up our minds.
And that's where the doubt comes. Because now, when we study the Word of God, you can truly see a person's doubt or faith in the way they respond.
Absolutely.
Because response is in action. And if I read the Word of God, for example, we use tithing as an example. Yes, we believe in tithe. Yes, we believe in prosperity. Yes, we believe in giving. Yes, I believe God wants to bless me. But then you go look at the lifestyle, and then they withhold the tithe, they withhold the offerings, they withhold everything from God because they are so dependent on what they have in their hands. It tells me that they do not believe or stand on the principles of God's Word.
Sure. And it's evident, like you said, in the lives of people.
It is.
You can just know it when people begin to complain about this and that. All they're doing is complaining against the Word,
yeah,
and not complaining against the man. Because whatever we say and do, we say from the Word. And when people get mad at us, they're actually getting mad at the Word.
Yeah.
Because that's because all they do is preach the Word.
They doubt the Word. So if a pastor preaches on healing and people don't receive healing, it's immediately, Pastor, why are you teaching this? And, you know, it's not us, it's what the Word of God says. And we stand on the Word of God. We're not going to compromise because things don't go our way. We preach the Word of God. So how does this obviously stop us from stepping into the next stage, the next level, the next dimension of our lives? Because let's go to Joshua 1 verse 8. And I know this is like one of your favorite verses. Joshua 1 verse 8. And this is the key to breaking limitation in your life. This is key. He says, this book of the law, being the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. And you've taught on this so many times, but we just have to say it again. The Word of God must be on your mouth. How does it get on my mouth? I have to get in the Word. If I don't know what the Word of God says, how can the Word of God be in my mouth? There's too many people that quote scriptures that are so out of context, and then they wonder why things aren't happening in their lives.
Yep.
You need to know the Word of God, and the Word of God must be in your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night. So obviously studying the Word of God, remembering the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it.
There's the key.
There's it, yeah. You always say this, speak it, then obviously meditate upon it, and then do the Word. If you can do these three simple things as Christians, this is what we're called to do. Follow the will of God, follow the Word of God. If we can do these things, he says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Why are people not stepping or progressing into the next plan or the next phase of the plan that God has for their lives and they've stagnated? Because they failed to get into the Word. They've started doubting the Word of God. And because they've started doubting the Word of God, they do not believe it. They do not apply it. And so in doing this, they have not made their way prosperous and they have not stepped into success.
A thought I just heard somebody saying, somebody watching us just said this, I've been doing it and it's still not working. So what do you do? If a guy who is digging for gold knows there's gold in the ground,
yeah,
and he digs and he's been digging for a month and he found no gold, let me ask you a question. Is that man going to pack up and leave because he didn't strike gold after the first month. Mm-hmm. No, my dear friend, he's going to go and get bigger equipment. He's going to dig deeper. He's going to work harder because he knows there is gold to be found in the ground. And he's going to work at it. So I want to encourage you, and I encourage myself as well, that when we meditate on the word and we begin to speak the word and apply the word, we have to do it until it happens. Don't you dare stop because, you know, your patience ran out and God didn't do it as quickly as you wanted him to do it. Because that's what we read this morning. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than your ways.
Yeah.
God works in his timing, but he's checking our faithfulness and our desperateness of how serious are we with him. And when he sees that, we're going to hit the gold pocket and God's going to bless us, I'm telling you.
The sad reality is people want the answers from men of God, but they're not willing to dive into the word of God themselves and get the answers themselves.
Yeah.
Someone can teach you and someone can help you, yes, but there is something powerful when you get into the word of God and God speaks to you himself.
Come on.
Because, listen to me, there will always be a certain measure of doubt if you hear it out of someone else's mouth instead of out of the mouth of God. That's why so many people, the pastor said this, why didn't it happen? The pastor said this, why didn't it happen? You know, and that's the sad reality. They're so focused on the pastor saying instead of the word of God saying.
I mean, even the Pharisees, when they came to Jesus, you know, asked him questions, and he said to them, listen, if you can't even receive my testimony that I'm giving now, how will you believe me if I even tell you of the things, you know, that's coming,
that's
or the
come,
things, you know, of the future? And that's the problem. Even in the Bible times of Jesus, they could not even receive his word because of that doubt. It's a strong force of Satan to cause doubt to come inside of us.
And so this is point number one. So we doubt the word of God, which means we doubt the promises of God. And if we doubt the promises of God, we cannot live in the promise and live in the favor of God.
Mm.
It's impossible.
Mm.
How can you live in the favor and promises of God if you do not believe in them? So if you find yourself in that place, and only you will know, if you find yourself in that place and say, well, I've been doubting, get into the word of God, seek God
again,
with all of your heart, all of your strength, and push into the presence of God. I'm going to be speaking about that tomorrow. We're speaking about the presence tomorrow. But there has to come a change in your life. In order to make your way prosperous and to be successful, we have to speak the word, meditate on the word, and apply the word of God in order to break the cycle of doubt in our lives concerning the word.
Praise
Number
God.
Two, the second area we doubt is we doubt in the plan, the purpose, and the destiny that God has for us specifically. Now, this is why I was laughing. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has a plan for you so big, so great. But you know how many people say, I don't know if God has something special planned for me.
Yeah.
If you're speaking like that, it tells me that you have already doubted in the plan of God. And you know, even some people, and I've heard people say, I feel that the plan of God for me was to struggle so that someone else can, it can be a testimony for someone else.
Wrong.
You're doubting the promise. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I'm just quoting. He says, for I know the plans that I have towards you, plans to prosper you for good and not for evil. I didn't remember that it says, I know the plans that I think towards you to make you struggle so that you can be the sacrifice for other people to get saved. Because people make it so about themselves and they think I have been anointed by God to struggle through life so that I can be the example, the sacrifice for other people
I've
to witness.
That.
And that is very dangerous, because God has called us that we may prosper. He has good for us and not evil planned for us. But you must be able to see the plan, the purpose, the destiny that God has for you. Stop thinking yourself as a little worm. Stop thinking that, yeah, God has something big for that person, but I don't qualify. If you have that mindset, it says to me that you are already doubting the plan and the purpose and the destiny that God has set before you. You must, and I'm encouraging you, again, this goes back to point number one, get into the Word so that you can receive the promises of God and you can step into what God has for you.
I just want to ask one question to the viewers. What glory does God receive in what Stephen was just saying? If you think that it's God's will for me to suffer and God's will for me to struggle, if you have that mentality, God chose you to be the one to struggle.
Yeah.
What glory does God get out of that? Is he exalted? Is he seen through the eyes of other people as a good God, as a God that loves and a God that cares? Or when people look at your life of struggling, do they say, well, if that's the God they serve, I want nothing to do with that God? You see, that's not the will of the Father for you to struggle. It's not the will of the Father for you to be sick and to whatever, you know, you're going through. His plans, as Stephen said, is to prosper you, to do good for you. His thoughts towards you are good and kind. Amen. So rather change your way of thinking. Get out of that doubt, which Stephen is saying, of not believing that God has something planned for you. Because my dear friend, he has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you. Why? Because when you walk in that plan and he begins to bless you, guess what? He gets the glory. He gets all the honor and the
praise.
Come
on, that's so good.
Hallelujah.
When we live in doubt concerning the goodness of God for our future, then we will not be able to see a future. Your doubt is going to be linked with identifying the goodness of God. Because a lot of people don't identify God as being good. And we've said this, I've said this so many times, because the moment something bad happens in their life, then all of a sudden God is bad. And then if something good happens, then God is good. Either they put God on a measuring scale based on what he does for them. God is good. Because the Bible says he is good.
Come on.
And because the Bible says God is good, I can trust in his goodness and believe that he has something special in store for my future. And because of that, I can now believe that God is in control.
Amen.
And when God is in control, all I have to do is enjoy the journey of where God is busy taking me.
Praise the Lord.
And in this process of getting, I don't like to say, one day we'll get to the plan. One day we'll get to the destiny. No, you live it every day. And it's a journey from now until you get to, you know, the end place one day. But it is now. I'm living the plan. I'm in the process. But do you doubt the process that you are in? And has the process caused you to doubt? Because you need to stay true and trust God and believe God and say, God, I believe in your goodness. I know you have something special in store for my life, and I am going to obtain it because you have set the way for me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
But again, it all comes down to a decision, because God is not a small God. God is not a little God. God is a big God. He's a great God, a majestic God, an all-knowledgeable God. And when he was thinking about you, I know the thoughts I have to you. He didn't think of you as that's just an extra person on all these people on earth. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that one. But this one, let me put more time in this one. Now God put out time and he thought individually of each one of us, of the plan that he has for us. So God cares about you. God loves you. And God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be prosperous. But do you believe it? Those who don't believe it won't be able to recognize it, but those who believe it will be able to run with that which God is in store for them.
I hear the Lord speaking to me right now, and he said this. He says, some of you who are watching are so doubtful that God cares about you, and some of you are saying, there's so many people in the world. How can God recognize or remember me when there's so many people in the world? And that he would favor other people more than he would favor me. Mm. It's like Bianca's testimony when she shares her testimony, and she shares how when she was in rehab and the man took her aside and said, God has a word for you. Yeah. And the revelation that hit Bianca, that out of the billions of people on earth,
yeah,
God would come and speak to her concerning her problem that she had had. Yeah. And the love of God that hit her and overwhelmed her. Now, this is what I hear the Lord saying. He says, if you think that the 7 billion people that are on the earth today, that you are just a number and God doesn't recognize you, then God says, I know every star and every planet that I have made in the heavens. I have formed them and I have given them names. And let me tell you, the stars in the heavens are uncountable. Amen. It is forever amount of stars out there. And if God knows every one of them, think about this. Another scripture says he knows every hair on your head.
Yeah.
And if you take 7 billion people's hair on their head, apart from the baldies that we have out there, but think about this. But God knows everything of you. So my friend, I hear the Lord saying, he knows you by name.
Yes,
he knows you by name. He knows where you're at. He knows where you come from. And he knows where he wants you to go. You are not alone. He loves you.
Come on.
Praise God.
Amen. All right, which leads us to point number 3. What do we doubt? We doubt his faithfulness and we doubt his ability. Yes, I believe God might have a plan for me. But then you start to doubt whether it's actually going to happen. You start to doubt whether God is able to do it. You start to doubt, is God really able to heal me? You start to doubt and say, is God really able to bless me? Is God really able to prosper me? And we change from a state of faith into a state of doubt.
Yep.
And obviously this limits our future, because if you cannot see that God is big enough to do it for you, mm-hmm. then you're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 78 verse 19. Psalm 78 verse 19 says, yes, they spoke against God. Doubters again. Doubters always speak against God. They complain.
Yep.
They're disobedient. Yes, they spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God really? That's what we see. Where we've seen miracles on happen, and then you start seeing the doubters in the comment sections. Can God really? Is God really able to do this? And the doubters will always complain, always have a critical spirit.
Yeah.
They will always try and see, try and find fault in God, and try and find a reason why God is not able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous place to be, because you stop trusting God. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting in God and his ability goes beyond my feelings. There has to be a place where I fully lean on God and not my own understanding, because God is the God of the impossible. And if you try to start working out how God is going to do this, then I want to almost say that you've started doubting in his faithfulness. How's God going to provide? How's God going to make this? How's God going to open the door? How's God going to do this? He's God. He can go like this and the whole world explodes. I mean, we cannot comprehend the bigness of our God, and yet we fail to think, how is he going to do this? God is there and he wants to help you. He's not like waiting around and say, I'm going to let him fail this time. I'm going to let him struggle this time. No. You have to start understanding that God is faithful. God is able. Jeremiah 17 verse 7 to 10. Jeremiah 17, and we'll read from verse 7 to 10. Blessed, say with me, blessed.
Blessed
is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. This is where we are. The faithfulness of God. I trust in God, so my roots are planted in God.
Amen.
That doesn't matter what struggles come. Amen. We will be rooted in God. We will stay green. We will stay joyful because we are rooted in God. Amen. He continues, which spreads out its root by the river and will not fear when he comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from the yielding of fruit.
Praise the Lord.
Those who trust in the Lord and always depend on his faithfulness and ability and trust in that and not doubt in that, they will have fruit in every season and they will move forward.
Amen.
The heart, look at this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing.
Shoo.
When we doubt in God and we doubt in his ability, I'm telling you, it is a root from the heart. And I'm going to speak a little bit about this later on. When doubt is coming from the heart, there is a problem. Because it means that my heart has become deceitful. That my heart has become corrupted. And if my heart has become corrupted and I live more in fear and doubt and unbelief than what I live in faith, it means my heart has been corrupted. And we need to repent and ask the Lord to give us a clean heart.
Come on.
So that we can live in faith.
Come on.
Without doubting. So that we can continue. If we look at Israel, every time they started doubting in the faithfulness and the ability of God, they fell into disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Because the heart is deceitful. The heart became doubtful. And with the moment when the heart becomes doubtful, and we said it earlier, criticism rises up, offense rises up, a disobedience rises up, complaining rises up in our hearts instead of walking in faith. Doubting is dangerous, and it sets you on a path that you do not want to go on. And that's why this is like the warning side of this teaching. You will stay limited in your life if you walk in doubt. And you will start to, and everyone around you will start to identify the deceitfulness that comes from the heart.
Listen, I just want to say this to the viewers that watch us. We do not live this holy, perfect life, okay, as the hockey family. There are many times when doubt hits me, many times when fear hits me. And I will tell you the very truth, Charmaine knows my heart, is that when I do not spend time with God, that is the time all hell breaks loose.
That's what we're going to be speaking on like, tomorrow.
Yeah, it feels like I'm so, you know, God doesn't care, God doesn't But it's God's got nothing to do with this. Because he remains true and faithful to his word.
Exactly.
But it's me. The problem is me. The me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
And the moment I get back into prayer, I get back into the word, oh, my spirit is lifted.
Yeah.
Faith comes again. And you know what? God reveals himself to me physically in the outward, what we do for him. All of a sudden, finances come, joys come, you know, bookings come, all things come. So, anyway, I just want to encourage you, we are not perfect. We also make mistakes. And as much as I'm teaching, Stephen's teaching the word to you, we have to practice what we preach.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
And I'm going to explain that now. But James 1 verse 5 to 8, this is point number 4. Where the fourth area we doubt is the area of asking. We doubt in our asking.
Yeah.
James 1 verse 5 to 8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. When you doubt in your asking, you become unstable in all of your ways. You are asking with your mouth, but your heart is saying something else. And this is what we said the other day, even. How many people ask God, I want to be used by God. But in their hearts, they're like, I don't really want to be used by God. Because it's too much effort. Because when there's a lot of people around them, they look holy and say, oh yeah, that person went to the front and that person said, oh, I want to be used by God. But they don't really want to be used by God. Because if you want to be used by God, you would go out and do what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there's some struggles. We overcome fear. We overcome some maybe disappointments, failure, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on.
Mm.
But if your heart is doubting in what you are asking, it's never going to happen.
Yep.
People say, oh, Lord, you know, I ask that you will come and that you will cancel all the debt in my house, in my heart. I don't think God's really going to do
work.
It.
Yeah.
I believe God for a car. I believe God's going to bring a car. I don't really think God's going to do it. Your heart gives you away. God is not tricked. God doesn't hear noises and say, oh, look at the faith of that person. God, when you speak, he goes and looks in the heart and sees the words that just came out of your mouth. Was it backed by faith or was it said in doubt? Did they believe it or did they not believe it? Because too many times we walk this life, we doubt in that which we are asking for. And then they go back. Every time you ask God, you ask for something else. It's like, okay, you ask for this one thing. No, I changed my mind. I want this. And then you go pray again. No, I changed my mind. I want this. Then you go and I changed my mind. I want this. If you are jumping around in your asking, you are like the wind or like the, you know, like the waves. You're being thrown everywhere. God does not honor that. You need to know what you want. You need to ask God for it. You need to believe for it, and then you will have it. But not this, I don't really know what I want. Amen?
Can I just say something I feel the Lord wants me to say? Is that you cannot live a life of faith depending on your feelings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, oh, I had such a great Sunday and God moved and it was so wonderful and I'm all chirpy and happy today because of what the Lord did yesterday. And then something goes wrong and you feel down and you feel let down. And now all of a sudden, you know, because I don't feel good, you know, now God doesn't feel good about me. Your feelings have got nothing to do with your faith.
Yeah.
Your faith in the Word of God should remain the same. Yeah. Don't look at your feelings on how you feel. Look to the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. When you ask, even if your feeling is down, ask by faith without doubting.
Exactly.
And you'll see God answer your prayers. So I just felt this. Don't let feelings interfere with your faith.
Come on.
Because they are separate.
Yeah. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And that's back to point number three. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart. Not in his head. If you doubt in your heart when you ask, then it will not happen. Because a lot of people think, no, I'm doubting in my head. No, doubt is in the heart. When you doubt in the heart, then it will not be given to you. So he says, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Because the devil's going to talk a lot in your head. He does. He's going to throw in this and that and that and that. But if you allow the doubt to go to the heart, then you will not get what... There might be some thought in your head, but if you choose not to receive it, you can still live in faith. There'll be thoughts of maybe some kind of doubt that comes into your head, but don't let it fall into your spirit, man.
Absolutely.
Don't let it fall into... Don't speak it. Because there's so many people, as soon as they have a bad day, they speak it. As soon as something goes wrong, they speak it. Mm. As soon as Satan has put a lie in their minds, they speak it. They accept it. They've let it fall into their spirit, and it has become their reality. Luke 24, verse 38. Now, this is big. And my dad and I spoke about this while I was preparing this, because I just had such a revelation. Luke 24, verse 38. And he said to them, him being Jesus. Okay, Jesus is speaking. And this was when they were on the ocean, and there was like, oh, everything's going crazy. And Jesus is speaking to Peter. He says, why are you troubled? Now, storms and everything is crazy. Why are you troubled? And look what Jesus says. And why do doubts arise in your hearts? He didn't say, why did doubts arise in your head? He said, why do doubts arise in your heart? Listen to me. Hope, faith, love are powerful. They're in the heart. Fear, doubt, unbelief are powerful. They're in the heart. There is a constant struggle in your inward man. Doubt goes deeper than just the mind. Jesus said, why did you doubt in your heart? Why did you let it arise in you? There's a battle inside of us all. And that's what my dad said. We're not perfect, because there is a constant fight deeper with the inward man. Your spirit is fighting with doubt, unbelief, or faith. And I have to then decide in the moment, am I going to let doubt arise from within me, or am I going to let faith arise from within me? Because it's a big, for me this was big, because we always have to think, oh no, Satan, he spoke in my head and now he's won the victory because I believe the lie. No, your inward man, your spirit man has a battle, and he has to make a decision. Am I going to let faith arise in me? Or am I going to let doubt arise inside of me? And you have a decision to make. It's not the devil's fault. You have a decision to make. What victory are you going to win? Are you going to live in doubt, or are you going to live in faith?
Pastor Brian saying Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing. You took the words right out of my mouth, Pastor Brian, because I was thinking that earlier on, that we need to fight these arguments that come inside of us.
Yes.
That doubt. And that's where fear and the doubt, this is where the argument is in our hearts.
Yeah.
And we need to cast down those arguments. How? By repeating the word of God and speaking the word of God.
Yeah, that's why I was like, some people might say, okay, but how do I strengthen my inner man to be able to have faith rise above the doubt? Get into the presence. We're going to speak about that tomorrow. Get into the presence. Get into the word. You have to build up your spirit man. If your spirit man is weak, doubt will be evident. If your spirit man is strong, faith will be evident.
Yes.
You have to strengthen the inward man. And just lastly, I know we're over the time. The fifth place that we doubt is we doubt in ourselves. Doubt in ourselves. But I'm going to explain this. Exodus 3 verse 10 to 12. So this is with Moses. And when Moses got called by God to go and take on Pharaoh. Mm. Verse 10 says, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Immediately, doubt. Same with Gideon that we read the other day. When the Lord comes, yes, we're always going to have a certain measure of doubt inside of us. doubt in what we can do, doubt in our ability, and that is normal. And I believe that everyone kind of struggles with doubting in themselves. But where do we find strength as the Christian? He continues, so he said, verse 12, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God is with you. What happened to Gideon when he doubted? The angel said to him, God is with you. God is with you. Yes, I might have some down days and I'm doubting in myself. But if I can fully surrender to the strength of God, if I can fully surrender and give over to God and say, God, it's not by my might nor by my strength, but it is by the Spirit of God inside me. I know you will never leave me nor forsake me. There is a boldness that rises in me to get the job done. That's what happened to all these men of God. Yes, there's a measure of doubt inside of all of us that we, you know, that we struggle with. But if you can have a revelation of who is on your side, I'm not confident because I'm self-confident. I'm confident because I am God-confident. I'm confident in the one that lives inside of me. I'm confident because he has called me. He has anointed me. He has appointed
me.
Will I make mistakes? Yes. Will there be struggles? Yes. Will there be feelings of doubt? Yes. But I will keep on going.
Hallelujah.
Because the God who lives inside of me is greater than any struggle I will face
Thank
in this
Jesus.
World. So when I step on a platform to preach, I am not scared because the one inside of me is higher. He put me there. And if he put me there, he's going to help me through it.
Praise
in your
God.
Business deal, in whatever you are doing, you are there because God put you there. And if you can run with confidence in God, there will be confidence in yourself to get the job done.
Praise God. Glory
Hallelujah.
To the Lamb. Amen.
Come on.
Wow. I'm telling you, don't doubt. Don't doubt.
Yes.
I just read something here where that you were reading out of Exodus verse 12. Listen to this. This is God speaking to Moses, right?
Yeah.
Now remember what was the first thing we said? I know the plans that I have for you,
yes.
right? My ways are not your ways, my thoughts. All right. So watch this. He said, I will certainly be with you, God saying to Moses, because now Moses is doubting in himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And this shall be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God already, this is faith.
Yeah.
God already saw the plan, the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And he already saw Moses and the Ten Commandments being written on this mountain way before, 40 years in the desert, you know, all of this stuff, God already saw what he had planned for Moses.
Yeah.
Isn't there some, that's faith. God saw the future and Moses couldn't believe the future. He couldn't even see what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And God says, you are still going to worship me on this mountain because I've already finished the job.
And what did God do? He is
Hallelujah.
He revealed the promise so that when Moses was going to go through all of those struggles, all those difficulties, the promise was, we will worship God on this mountain. And that's it. If you do not know the promises of God in the Word of God, how can you stand?
Amen.
But those who know the word, those who believe in his faithfulness, those who believe in the plan, those who come to him boldly, you cannot doubt because the promise of God has already been given to you. There's a plan. There's a future.
And remember, Moses didn't know what was going to happen.
He didn't.
He didn't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we know God has a plan for us down the line.
Yeah.
But we don't know the in-between is what's going to happen. But every time when I look at the life of Moses, the in-betweeners were good and great and pleasant and powerful because God was with him all the way. And he saw every miracle, every plague, you know, I call it it's the 10 plagues, but quite frankly, it was God delivering Israel from the 10 plagues and, you know, how Egypt was being struck. But mm-hmm. here's Moses. He's just, okay, I'll say that to them. And then God says, stretch forth your hand. Boom. Stuff happens, you know. And he's just like, man, I'm, and the whole of Israel are sitting. Imagine, they're sitting in light. And the whole of Israel is in complete darkness for a week long.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? They see those. They see the bugs and the frogs and the, you know, the grasshoppers coming.
Yeah, hail and everything.
The hail, and they're sitting on their veranda watching the power of God. My friend, I feel so happy this morning to know God, you are about to take Healing Ministries International to a place that is so big, so huge. Lord, and our journey to where you are taking us is going to be prosperous and blessed. I'm telling you, I'm having an encounter with God right here, right now. And I know our future is bright and clear and good in Jesus' name. Man, amen. Do you get this word, family? Are you encouraged this morning? Mm-hmm. Are you taken out of your whatever negativeness? Know this, that God has got something big for you in store.
Yes, he does.
And to get there is going to be a blessing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Would you pray for everyone?
Amen.
Break that doubt.
Come on, Father. I thank you for this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for your visitation to us here in this room, Father. I thank you that you've blessed us. You've anointed us again. You've encouraged us. You've filled us with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father, that what I'm feeling now is going through the airwaves to your people, Father, those who felt negative, down, neglected, rejected, and oppressed, Lord. I thank you that every demonic spirit is broken just by the revelation of the word.
Yeah.
And Lord, that your joy has come upon each and every one of us, that your faith has gone from 0 to 100 in each and every one of us, Father God, knowing that you are in full control. I bless the viewers. I bless ourselves, myself, Lord. I bless us in the name of Jesus, that we are conquerors, we are overcomers, we are victorious because of you, Jesus. And we know, God, that we are on a journey of blessings and greater things to come. I bless your people, Father. I thank you that there's no doubt and fear, but Lord, just hope, faith and love that is inside of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you agree with me, say amen.
Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Amen. Thank you guys for joining us today. Remember, tomorrow we'll be concluding the series of breaking limitations. And we're going to get into the last key that's holding, I would say, a lot of people back. Well, the last struggle that's holding a lot of people back, keeping them limited and bound. We're going to deal with it tomorrow. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for watching. We pray that you all have a blessed day. And we'll see you tomorrow morning again.
Amen. We love you so much. We do. God bless you guys. But here's the good news. Jesus loves you more. Bye-bye.
You can make a difference by partnering with us, a ministry with a heart for the lost, by visiting our website, www.dionhockey.org. You will also receive exclusive content from the ministry as a thank you from Pastor Dion Hockey. Remember to subscribe and follow our social media pages for updates, sermons, and more information on the ministry. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.